Oh my goodness. Fred, I can see what's happening there in front of you. That better be a herbal tea.
What?
You don't leave the bag in for an English breakfast.
Oh, yeah. Well, how did you know? Yeah. Well, I'm still letting it steep.
Have you already put the milk in?
I don't even know. I don't have milk.
Is it? But it's just black English breakfast tea.
Yeah.
Okay. Fred needs a teapot. That's what you're getting for Christmas next year. Okay. Welcome to Freedom Matters, where we explore the intersection of technology, productivity, and digital well-being. I'm your host, Georgie Powell, and each week we'll be talking to experts in productivity and digital wellness. We'll be sharing their personal stories and experience on how to take back control of technology. We hope you leave feeling inspired, so let's get to it. This week, I'm in conversation with Fred Stutzman, the founder of the popular productivity app, Freedom. We'll be discussing his motivations for building a startup in this ecosystem, his experience from doing so, and how he defines a productive life. Fred, I am so excited to be here with you. Episode one, Freedom Matters. Who better to kick off the show?
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for kicking off this project and making it happen. It's going to be fantastic. And I thought, really, what better place to start than by asking you a little bit about your own perceptions of the importance of productivity and digital well-being. And I guess I'd love to hear from you a bit about your background and what really led you to create Freedom in the first place.
Sure. I'd be happy to tell the story. Yeah, Freedom was started many years ago. Kind of the first idea of it was in the late 2000s when I was a graduate student. And as a graduate student, I was studying social media. I was in an information science program and I was studying how much time people were spending on social media and some of their behaviors, and found myself spending a lot of time on social media, as you might imagine, realizing how addictive and potentially problematic it could be. And so I noticed I wasn't getting my work done, so I would go to this one coffee shop that didn't have a Wi-Fi signal, and you know, that was a more common thing back then. And I got a lot of work done. It was great. The good coffee, too. It worked as a solution until one day they turned on Wi-Fi. And then really everything changed. I mean, my work habits in the coffee shop, really the nature of the coffee shop changed. And I realized that if you are going to be constantly connected, then you're going to need some sort of tool to fight back. And so the first version of Freedom was built to solve that problem. How do you get offline in a time where you're just constantly connected? And what I found was that being offline, turning your computer back into a typewriter, really helped you focus, really helped you get good work done. There's lots more after that, but that's where the idea came from.
Oh, wouldn't it be so nice to sit in a coffee shop right now and do some creative work? The sun came out today here, actually, and I reveled in the fact that I got to sit on my bench in my garden with my laptop, and it just felt so refreshing to be in a new space.
At this point, I would take a coffee shop with Wi-Fi. I mean, just, you know, bring it on.
Amazing. So you're solving a problem for yourself that actually ended up helping solve a problem for many other people. And I'd love to understand a little bit more about kind of, we obviously met through the challenges that we had with Apple when, prior to them launching their own screen time app, they took action, shall we just say, against many of the existing screen time apps in the store. And for me, I think that was a big wake-up moment to the sort of the strength of power that they had in the app ecosystem. And I guess a little bit more about the dynamics of the industry in which we're operating. How much do you think that is contributing to some of the challenges and the issues that we see today? Yeah, what's your view really on why some of these challenges with our balance with technology exist, and how can we start to think about getting past them?
Well, there's a lot there, Georgie. And, you know, maybe I feel like I should jump in and sort of tell the story of Apple. and it really is an incredible one.
Yeah.
And yeah, as you mentioned, you and I met when we were going through this very confusing and unusual process of essentially being censored by the largest technology company in the world. After being in the App Store for many years, doing what we've done in a safe and privacy-protective manner, one day we were pulled out of the store with very kind of varying reasons and rationales. And it wasn't until many years later after the fact when the United States House of Representatives Antitrust Committee looked into the matter, they found it was purely for anti-competitive reasons. They didn't want to have other attention management blocking programs on the App Store. And so that was a real eye-opening thing for me because it spoke to the power of having control over your connectivity, control over your environment, and how this very simple thing that we created, which was, you know, a way for you to disconnect, could become this highly political thing. That's really interesting to see kind of where we are now. We think about just, can you even disconnect in a world where all of your attention is being tracked and sold and is the lifeblood of the modern digital economy? So, you know, it's funny, like this productivity tool has lived other lives as this way to fight back against really the modern consumer digital economy. And we saw that in some of our issues that we ran into with the App Store. It's been very interesting to see over the past couple of years how many people have turned to solutions like Freedom to both be more productive, but also to exclude certain activities. It's certainly turning off the noise when you want to work, but it's also turning off the noise when you want to sleep or turning off the things that are tracking you. And that ability to turn something off is both a powerful technological move, but it's also becoming a powerful political move. So it's been really interesting to watch over the past couple of years.
Yeah, there's big change of it, I think, in terms of the structure of the industry. But in terms of helping users, as you mentioned, I think previously when we spoke and you used this metaphor of guardrails. Can you explain to our listeners a little bit about what you mean by guardrails and what Freedom does in terms of providing guardrails?
The thing that is kind of interesting about Freedom is it was built to leverage a commitment device. It was built to leverage your better future self. So, you know, when you're distracted by technology, when you're distracted by anything, you realize it and you're like, oh man, I wish I'd make a better choice. And the time to make the better choice is when you have very high motivation. So I know that tomorrow I want to get certain amounts of work done. But when tomorrow rolls around, I may not want to actually do that work. I may want to procrastinate. I may want to loaf around, you know. And what Freedom does is it allows you to transfer that sort of intentionality of your past self into the present. And you do that by setting a schedule or, you know, pre-committing to your blocking sessions. So that's a basic guardrail. But I also think about, you know, what is the future of work? What is the future of work on a digital device? And these devices are built purposefully to lack guardrails. I mean, that's changing a little bit in the past couple of years with the digital well-being apps, but they're so underpowered and they're so kind of thrown in there as afterthoughts to protect against litigation, I think, that they're not highly developed. You know, when we think about like, what is the future of work? It's having a device that knows that you're trying to work. It sets you up to succeed. And your success is going to come from being able to deeply focus on a task. It's being able to control and understand your environment, get feedback, get encouragement potentially, build a kind of a social network around the work that you're trying to do. There's all these things that we can do that have come out of our research into, you know, what we call kind of modern work, and devices can support that. So as we think about the future, we're thinking about ways to support those kind of things.
Yeah, and I think it's particularly relevant when you think about the changed locality of work and how we're all working now from very different locations than we were previously, and this idea of the water cooler's gone away, and how when we talked previously, we were talking about how the sort of the nature of work is being forced to change in that sense as well. It's not just around technology, right?
Absolutely. In the past year, we've seen such a tremendous shift in both our expectations of work and the ways that we're working. And I think that is going to force a lot of innovation. We're not going back to simply being in the office and having these sort of basic expectations around the times and the places that we have to work. We have seen the future, and that is work can happen anywhere. Work can be distributed. And I'm talking about kind of knowledge work, but even more so, I mean, there's just whole sectors of the economy that can be distributed in this way. And so having devices that are set up to allow you to do that kind of work are increasingly powerful. There is value in an office. There is value in the social expectation of work being in an office. And so people do miss that. I mean, they even create things like, you know, cave days. I mean, cave day is where you will remote work with other people. You'll just set a Zoom up. And just the fact that you've got other people who are doing it with you, that's powerful. So we're building these interventions that replicate some of the things that work, but we've got so much more to do. There's so much more that we can do to support modern work through our devices. And so it requires a little bit of innovative thinking. It requires a little bit of thinking outside the box. And that's been really one of the most exciting things about an otherwise kind of really trying time. There's so much opportunity in supporting work.
Yeah, so liberating, really, isn't it, when you think about how we can free ourselves in many ways from the shackles of 9 to 5.
Absolutely, yeah.
And if we do it right, you know, if we find the right balance.
Yep.
So, Fred, for my third question today, I'd love to come back to your roots as a researcher in the early days of social media. And, you know, when we've talked previously, you've talked more positively about the future of social media and how we can start to perhaps rectify some of the challenges that we're seeing within it. I'd love to understand more about that now as we look into the future of interaction online.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, people, if you look at Freedom at sort of face value, you may think that this is a company that is against social media or in some way not supportive of it. And, you know, I kind of couldn't be further from the truth. My background is in doing social media research. I studied information science, got my PhD looking at social interaction online. And one of the things that I studied was the positive role that social media plays in life transition. And more generally, just the positive role social media can play in everyday life. And there's lots of research that supports it. One of the drawbacks of social media is the amount of time that we can spend on it. You know, previously we were kind of limited by the amount of time that we could watch TV because we couldn't carry around a TV in our pockets. The form factor changing has made things more complex in terms of managing our time online. But that being said, there are still very positive things that come out of our use of social media. And so as we think about the challenges, it's not so much get you off of social media, it's finding the right balance. And really, that's kind of everything in life anyway, right? So finding the right balance and being able to allocate your time in a way that allows you to get your work done and your goals accomplished. That's kind of the more important part, your goals accomplished. So when we built Freedom, I built it kind of with my goal in mind, and that was to turn off the distractions and to focus so I can get my dissertation done. And in the past couple of years, we've heard from so many people who've had similar experiences, being able to turn off the noise, find time to focus, and get good work done. As I think about the future, the first challenge is kind of finding ways to carve out time for focused work and having technology that supports that. And then there are all sorts of bigger challenges there, as we've seen in the past couple of years with how we interact with social media, what we interact with on social media. There's a lot there to unpack. I don't know if we have time for today, but there's good and bad, and we certainly want to support people in the more positive aspects of using social media and help them with some of the more challenging aspects of it.
Amazing. Well, it sounds like there's lots of really good stuff to come. I'm very excited about Freedom's role in continuing to help us build those guardrails that we need to navigate the tech landscape. Fred, I really hope we get to speak to you again. Let's make it sort of regularly throughout the series. We can keep touching base with you and your thoughts, because I do see you certainly as a futurist and great thought leader in this space. Thank you so much for your time today, and we will definitely talk again soon.
All right. Thanks, Georgie.
thank you for joining us on Freedom Matters. If you like what you hear, then subscribe on your favourite platform. And until next time, we wish you happy, healthy, and productive days.